Welcome to Backlog Books. In this podcast, I will be recapping and discussing what I've been reading lately. My name is Kara. Thank you for joining me, and please be prepared for spoilers. Oh, I was like, there's something I wanted to talk about. Before I started the episode, I remember thinking about it. I made a little note somewhere else, obviously. And then I remembered it's going to be my birthday when this episode comes out. So happy birthday to me. I hope I have a great day. other important things to hash out. I'm probably going to skip at least one episode in May. It's going to be a very busy month for me. So yeah, I think I will skip the episode that's supposed to come out on the 6th. But we'll see. That's for the future. We'll figure it out when we get there. But this time, we are talking about Mirror Dance by Lois McMaster-Bujold. Here is the summary. The dwarfish, fatally damaged yet brilliant Miles Vorkosigan, has more than his share of troubles. Having recently escaped an assassination plot whose tool was a brainwashed clone of himself, Miles has set the clone, Mark, free for a new chance at life. But when he decides to let his clone brother assume his secret identity and lead the Dindari Free Mercenary on an unauthorized mission to liberate other clones from the outlaw planet of Jackson's Hole, things start to get really messy. The mission goes awry, Miles's rescue attempt goes even more wrong, and Miles ends up killed and placed in a cryogenic suspension for future resuscitation. Then, as if that weren't bad enough, the cryo-container is lost. Now it is up to the confused, disturbed Mark to either take Miles's place as the heir of the Vorkosigan line or redeem himself by finding and saving Miles. Mirror Dance was published in 1994. It won both the Hugo and the Locus Award for Best Science Fiction Novel in 1995. Our author is Lois McMaster-Bujold. She's great. So this is another entry in the Vorkosigan saga, as you might have guessed. This would be one heck of a choice as like your first book introduction to this series. If you did that, please tell me how that went for you, because I really want to know. So every time I list content warnings for the Vorkosigan saga, I contemplate just putting all of them, all the content warnings. That's not actually very helpful, though. So for this book specifically, the content warnings I wanted to give are for torture, rape, eating disorders, and the usual amount of war and ableism, which means a lot, basically. So Mirror Dance begins 2 years after Brothers in Arms. The intervening years have been busy, with Miles and the Dindari mercenaries taking various jobs around the galaxy. Miles has attempted a couple of times to bring his clone in, and those attempts have gone poorly so far. His clone, despite Miles' best efforts to convince him otherwise, is still not convinced of Miles' sincerity. The clone is also struggling to find out who he is when he's not pretending to be Miles. In their brief meeting during Brothers in Arms, Miles gave his clone a name, Mark Pierre Vorkosigan. On Barayar, the naming conventions among the Vor aristocracy means the firstborn son gets the first names of his grandfathers, and the second son gets the second names of his grandfathers. Welcome to the family, said Miles, and welcome to the weight of responsibility. For ease, I'm going to be referring to Miles's clone as Mark from now on, because, spoiler alert, guess who goes home to Barayar and accepts being a Vorkosigan? He's got a ways to go first, though. So at the end of Brothers in Arms, Miles gave Mark a stack of cash and sent him on his way, promising him that he'd be welcomed by the Vorkosigans if he ever decided to go to Barrayar. 2 years later, Mark has not gone to Barrayar and is running out of money. He's desperate to do something heroic, to achieve the lofty goal he set for himself when he escaped, and to make a name for himself that is not shaped by Miles. He's got a little ways to go first. So his plan, his goal, is to rescue the other clones from the same hatchery, clone home hatchery, I can't remember what they call it, the same one that he was engineered in. So Mark's current plan, he is going to pose as Miles, commandeer a Dindari ship while Miles is distracted, smash his way in, grab the clones, smash his way out, be lauded a hero by those he rescued. Easy. Miles could do it, Mark reasons. Surely Mark can do it too, honey. He is also under some time constraints, not only because once Miles finds out about the Dindari ship, he will be coming after Mark to stop him, but also because the clones don't have long to live. It's important to understand the clone business in the galaxy, to understand how Miles's first encounter with the cloning business went. Please read the short story Labyrinth. Now, cloning is, generally speaking, illegal everywhere except for one planet, Jackson's Hole. Hole with a W. There are plenty of reasons to want clones, but a lot of the customers for clones from Jackson's Hole are the extremely wealthy who order a clone of themselves so that they can transfer their old rich person brain into a young clone version of themselves. So the longer it takes, the more clones are killed. And I think he said something like it was one clone a month dies. So Mark's plan actually works out okay right up until they actually start the grab part of the smash and grab. It is one thing to impersonate Miles in a social setting. It is quite another to be commanding troops in a firefight. As in, it's something that Miles can do and Mark cannot. Mark's cover is blown and he and the Dindari mercenary squad that he commandeered are cornered in the clone house. Luckily for them, the clones make valuable hostages, so they're not all immediately killed. It's not really how Mark imagined this going. So they are under siege in the clone house, trying to negotiate, and Miles comes to the rescue, pulling off the impossible as always, which is part of what makes him an infuriating older brother to have, I'm sure. He gets Mark and the clones out with just one tiny hiccup. Miles dies in the attempt. Death in combat is not necessarily the end. Let's not forget that we are in science fiction. We've got space travel, cloning, laser rifles, and cryo-freeze technology. And it's been mentioned a few times in other books of this series, if you prep someone's body just right after they die, get them into a cryo-freeze container and ship them to a competent medical facility, they can be brought back. It's not a guarantee you'll come back right. Some people have brain damage, sometimes they didn't get you prepped correctly, sometimes our technology simply fails us. Miles dies and they are still under fire. His body is prepped, put into a cryo-freeze chamber, and in the mad rush of escaping confusion, the cryo-freeze chamber is lost. The person who hid it dies before he can tell anyone else where it is. So, bye, Miles. It's great to have you as the protagonist for the last six books or whatever. So the Dendari mercenaries drop Mark into Barayar's lap and bid him good riddance. They cannot wait to get away from him. Barayarin, Imperial Security, and the Dendari mercenaries begin the search for Miles. There's a lot of ground to cover, and they have to do it kind of sneakily. The Dendari and Mark bluffed their way out of Jackson's hole, making Mark pretend to be Miles again, just for long enough to get them out. And they don't want any of Miles' enemies to know that his body is out there somewhere, unprotected. So shipped to Barayar, Mark finds himself the guest of the scariest people he can imagine, Count and Countess Vorkosigan, Miles' parents. I just want to say, it's always a delight to see Cordelia in these books. She was, like, briefly mentioned in Brothers in Arms, but she gets to show up here in full force, and I love her. Okay. Now he's got parents. Mark begins, in earnest, the search for himself. It's not much of a comfort to realize that Miles was right. The Vorkosigans take him in and offer him choices. Before Miles found him, Mark had one option. Replace Miles, be an extremist's instrument for revenge, destroy as much of Barayar as he can get his hands on. And now, Mark could leave. He could continue through the galaxy on his own, not bound to them in any way. Cordelia, Countess Vorkosigan, offers him a home with her family on Beta Colony, where clones are treated as regular people. Or he can stay on Barayar and accept his place as their son and Miles' younger brother. Who is he when he isn't trying to be Miles? When he can stop trying to force himself to be Miles' copy and figure out what he is good at? What a struggle to live your whole life to be pretending to be someone else. And then suddenly that person who has shaped your entire life, whether they knew it or not, is dead. And now you have to decide who you're going to be? As time goes on, and it does take time, I always appreciate Bujold's pacing, honestly. There are a lot of places to search. Mark begins to understand and create himself, but the search for Miles' body begins to hit, dead end after dead end. New emergencies arise that take precedence. Attention is starting to fade away from the search. They're starting to give up hope of ever finding him. It's been months, and they haven't found anything. Mark is, over this time, coming to understand himself better, but also coming to understand Miles better, and to understand the responsibilities that Miles has been holding for his whole life. And also to realize that if Miles isn't found and saved, all of those responsibilities will become Mark's. That's terrible. So he gets Countess Vorkosigan and the Emperor of Barayar's blessing to hair off on a wild caper to find Miles. Mark is not good at battlefield command, but he is good at taking large swaths of data and cutting through to find connections and things other people have missed. And he thinks he's found Miles, right back where they lost him. With the Dendari to help, reluctantly, Mark returns to Jackson's hole. Last time he was here to rescue his clone siblings. This time he's here to rescue his brother. I just think it's neat. So it's not as simple as getting there and finding a cryo-freeze chamber under some rubble. For one thing, there are still enemies hoping to get revenge on Miles' alter ego, who Mark is now once again impersonating. For another, Miles has already been revived by a medical facility, and he's forgotten who he is. There's this moment where amnesiac Miles is told that he could be one of three people because they don't know exactly who he is. They're like, there's three possibilities. There's Miles Vorkosigan, there's Admiral Naismith of the Dendari fleet, or there's the extra clone. And he's going through these possibilities and he's like, I couldn't possibly be Miles Vorkosigan or this admiral. What if I'm this clone? And around they go, trading identities and dangers, alternating rescuing and being rescued. Will they make it out alive? And if they do, who are they going to be at the end of it? Whew. This was a very good book, though difficult in many places. We're in Mark's point of view for most of this book, and while I have gotten used to Miles as the point of view character, it is also fun to see him from Mark's perspective, because Mark has such a unique perspective on Miles. Having been raised to impersonate him, he has a deep understanding of who Miles is and an uncanny ability to be a huge annoyance, which is such a sibling thing. I can say this, I'm the youngest. I do love to see Mark grow through this book, but he does go through a lot of really hard, difficult, painful situations, including being tortured by a sadist. But Bujold does such a good job of getting her characters through the horrible events, which is one of the reasons that I can keep picking these books up and keep reading them, even though they do cover a lot of really difficult situations and like awful things happening. It's like she just does a really good job. And the change at the end from Miles treating Mark like a skittish animal he needs to lure in, to Mark being like, oh, you wanted me to be your little brother? Okay, I'm going to be the most annoying human you've ever met in your life. And because I know you and your flaws down to the core, I'm going to be incredibly effective. Chef's kiss. You know what? After all the stuff he went through, Mark earned that. And also, Miles deserves it. He wanted a little brother. He got one. Okay, that's it. Again, it's a really good book. I don't have any media to recommend like this. Good luck. Just read more of the Vorkosigan Saga. That's all I gotta say. Join me next time to hear about, I think I'm going to be doing Nettle and Bone by T. Kingfisher with a friend of mine. It's either Nettle and Bone or it's going to be Rivers of London. We'll see. As always, you can contact me at backlogbookspod@gmail.com. You can find the podcast on Facebook at Backlog Books Podcast or at backlogbooks.com. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support it, the best way to do that right now is to rate and review it or just share it with a friend. The music is by Joseph McDade. You can hear more of his work at josephmcdade.com. Thank you for spending this time with me. I hope to talk with you again soon. Probably in the middle of May, not the beginning. I got a lot of stuff to do.